This podcast is brought to you by lineupmedia.fm. You're listening to The Cowboys Podcast, presented by lineupmedia.fm. Now your host, Jono and Steve-O.
Cowboy Nation, how the hell are you? It's a great day here at lineupmedia.fm studios here. I got my man Steve-O.
What's up, brother? I spent the morning in Studio B with Jimmy over there doing our Cardinals podcast. Had a little lunch, come back. Now we're in the big time, the Studio A. You know why? Because the Cowboys, according to Forbes in 2016, are the best sports, most valuable sports franchise in the world.
In the world?
At $4 billion. So that's why the Cowboys podcast must get Studio A.
Yeah, it's almost like Wimbledon. This is the main...
This is the main court. Now, hey, don't get me wrong. I love Studio B. I love the intimacy of it. All right? It has a mood lighting over there, too. Everybody's sitting. It feels more like you're having a bar table, you know, type conversation right across from each other. Studio A, though, is plush, man. This reminds me of what I would assume the Star is like. And we're going to see that when we're down there in Dallas in a couple of months, right?
Yeah.
Go on a tour and do all that stuff.
I definitely think we should.
Now you got to help me out here. Is this the gout? I know you're battling the gout. I got a gout toe.
No, I'm okay now.
You're okay now?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Is it, or you just think my pedicure, I got an infection on it?
I think you got an infection on there. Let me give a little shout out here, folks. Welcome back to another great episode on CowboyPodcast.com here. It's fabulous how all the support we're getting out there from you guys. And if you're going to follow us on Cowboys Podcast on Facebook as well. And wherever you're listening to our show, go to iTunes, Stitcher, and Google Play and subscribe. Subscribe to our show and maybe leave a 5-star review. 5-star review would be great because then that'll launch us up to one of the top shows of Dallas Cowboys, podcast out there. I think it's great. And check up our lineupmedia.fm. I think Steve just brought up a great point. We've got some great shows. If you're a Cardinal fan too, boom, you got a Cardinal show out there called Two Birds on a Bat. That's what you do, right?
That's the one. Two Birds on a Bat, man. It's going great. Got Jim and Benji Molina's on with us. So,
right.
You know, so it
a
goes
former
great.
Former player right there, guys. So, anyway, that's what we got going. And today we're going to talk a little bit about the stats, how things are going with the numbers, how we're projected. We're going to talk a little bit about Carroll and his incident with DUI. And
did we cover David Irving last week? Or
David Irving was
that
covered.
Had just broke, but now I think there's he says he has some stuff maybe to exonerate himself. Use some information.
I can't wait for that. I can't wait to talk about that a little bit. And on top of that, a couple weeks ago, we had Barry on here and Barry Gibson, and it was amazing how everyone just wanted to hear him some more, and I said, you know what, why don't we get Barry back on, and we're going to call Barry up right now. Let's call Barry up, and let's get this thing going. Us three will do the show today, Steve-O.
Sounds perfect to me, brother.
All right, I think we got Barry on. Brian, do we have Barry? Great. Barry, you out there?
I'm here.
Hey, how you been, my man? A lot of talk, with... You being on a show a couple weeks back, I was getting a lot of emails saying that we got to get you back on, and I said, why the hell not? Barry, how you doing?
Oh, good. I guess all that campaign money paid off for me then, so glad to be back.
You did great, buddy. We had a lot of people that listened to the show, and they really liked it. And today I want to talk a little bit about the stats from the stats that we had last year going into this year. We got a... One thing I want to bring up right now is Nolan Carroll's situation. What's going on with that? I think that he said, I think the coach, Garrett, he brought up the fact there's no excuses for this. So
No, there's not really. And I mean, 2 years ago, it'd been like, hey, whatever. But I think now with the momentum that we've got, that the expectation is higher, the culture's changed. It's really a big letdown. And I think that's going to create more accountability for other players that may have been walking that thin line to see what's happening with Nolan Carroll, even though we just signed him, that, you know, the Dallas Cowboys locker room is not playing around. You know, you can miss your chance if you want to. You better walk a straight and narrow. Otherwise, you're going to be on the sideline and not in the game.
Right, or not even have a paycheck in that sense. Now, Steve-O, does this also – oh, well, wait 1 minute, Patrick. You come in here. Steve-O, I'd like to ask you, does this give the guy a black eye as well on the fact that, you know, can he still be a Cowboy when all the smoke clears on this?
Well, I think you can. Obviously, we're a society of forgiveness and you know, you take your responsibilities, you know, and be held accountable that way. And I think we'll get by that. But ultimately, it comes down to play on the field. So if you're playing well on the field, we tend to forget those
and forgive
rather quickly. If you're going to suck it up out there on the field, then guess what? They're always going to hold this against you. So we'll see when the time comes. But yeah, I'm not a. Listen, mistakes happen, okay? I get it. I don't think there's any excuse right now in today's world, in today's society, given how much attention's been brought to driving under the influence and or, you know, of any narcotic, alcohol, weed, whatever it might be, that you can't – there's an app on your damn phone for
right,
Uber.
Right.
It, and they're there. They'll be there in 3 minutes. It's not like it's an inconvenience. You don't have to call Yellow Cab Company to come from Love Field or, you know, Dallas International or anything like that.
Right.
Guess what you got to do? You press an app, and it'll be there in 3 or 4 minutes.
And it'll show you how it's coming.
Right. Right. And you don't have to pay anything. It's already on there. Right. So why on earth in today's society we have Carroll or Tiger Woods, these guys with money that are out there doing that, Not only hurting their reputation, but endangering a lot of innocent people out there.
Wow. That was pretty good. That was pretty good.
Should I step down off the soapbox yet?
No, I think you did really well there. Hey, we just had one of our Cowboy interns walk in. Patrick, maybe you pick that up there and let us know what the hell you got for us. He just barged in here. Patrick, can you get on there? Can you talk into it?
Yep.
Oh, we can't hear you. We can't hear you.
We'll get him set up while you talk. Barry, go ahead. What do you got on thoughts on that?
You know, I'm not perfect. I've made my fair share of mistakes. You know, I understand the biggest thing is you got to learn from it. But I think truly when you get signed by the Cowboys or you have anything to do with the Cowboys, you've got to know that magnifying glass is on you. And doesn't mean that you shouldn't do it because you're a Cowboy, but just all together, you're going to know that the smallest, I think we talked about this on Jono's last show, that if, you know, a Cowboy walks outside of the grocery store and drops toilet paper, TMZ is there to report on it and make a big deal about it. So,
right.
You know, you just got to make better decisions, and hopefully he'll learn from it. I think, again, it'll be probably the silver lining is, you know, other players are going to see how this has played out and probably have them take a second chance and use an Uber like what you're talking about and take those extra measures, you know, to protect what they're trying to build there. Because if not, it's, you know, the media is going to eat that up.
Well, you're exactly right. And let's point to the fact that the Cowboys are always going to have scrutiny on their players, their front office, their ownership. They're always going to be scrutinized, Jono, to
right.
a T. But even more so now because they look like they're the team to come out of the, you know, the favorite out of the NFC. Okay, if I had to pick a team, and I know I'm a little biased standing
you know
in
what?
Here.
I will bring that up because there was a little chart on who our competition is and all that. Is Patrick on there now? Hey, Patrick, what news you got for us? You were in the war room talking about it.
Yeah, so like we were talking about earlier, recently Ezekiel Elliott and his went to his sister's game in John Burroughs.
And that's in the St. Louis area,
yeah.
Right?
And his sister was actually playing against another St. Louis celebrity, Larry Hughes' daughter. And in that game, it was apparently a chippy game. And going up for a layup, Ezekiel Elliott's sister fouls Larry Hughes' sister and it erupts into a fight. And there's some pushing and shoving.
Did you hear about this?
I have not heard about this yet.
Yeah, so it actually elevated to punches being thrown between just those two, and a bunch of people jump in, and the cops actually had to break it up between her.
Was Zeke there?
Zeke was there, yeah, and so was Larry Hughes, and Zeke was sitting with his family, and once the fight erupted, some parents and some fans from the other team decided to go at Zeke, and Zeke gets angry and just starts going at some of these fans and had to be restrained and actually ejected from the game along with his sister.
Holy cow.
Oh, my gosh, man.
That's
this
beautiful.
Is,
that, isn't
this,
that
this
great
breaking
cowboy
news.
Intern there?
Holy cow.
When did that go down?
You know, it was about a month ago.
A month ago, and they kept us down, huh?
Yeah, it really didn't come out. And then I saw that video today, and wow, you could see them getting heated.
You,
not only
sir, you were talking TMZ, and there we go. We got our own TMZ.
Wow.
How about that, Barry?
Hey, that's good on the scene reporting. I haven't even heard about that either. You said it happened 2 months ago. Yeah, they really kept that down. But we all know nothing can be really suppressed on the internet. It's eventually going to come out.
Yeah, yeah. And that's all. Hey, there it is too. My God, 3,000 views, and no one even knows about it. Anyway, let's move on here. Let's move on. We've got how will Dak Prescott playbook change in year number two? Is he going to open it up more? Everyone's talking about what the playbook's going to be like for this year.
Well, we talked about that during the season quite a bit as far as what we'd like to see, and I still love the fact that we have a quarterback that can scramble and get outside the pocket and actually use his legs for first downs. So I'm hoping that he continues to do that and make those big plays, because I think it's just going to soften up that defense and let us pick them apart that way.
Barry?
Yeah, I don't think it changes much from last year. Feed Zeke. I mean, beat the defense down, and then they're going to have to respect Zeke. And that's – I mean, we already seen Dak is very cerebral. He's very smart. He's very poised. I don't see them getting too tricky. There's no need to. He's got an arsenal of weapons. He'll just be able to pick and choose. Wear those defenses down on the run game first. That's our identity. And we should have success just like we did last year against most teams.
Right, right. And you know what? This is interesting too, Barry. You brought this up a couple weeks ago. And the whole process on keeping Tony Romo's locker still intact. How about that? You called that too. I remember that.
Yeah, until Tony signs some retirement paperwork, and I mean, even we know that doesn't necessarily mean anything, but that's just my conspiracy and what I believe in, that, you know, in the event, we haven't taken any moves on any quarterbacks in terms of backups relevant for Dak or anything like that. So my whole conspiracy is that he's just kind of out there waiting, so if we need him, he can be like Superman and come put his cape on and jump in the booth. Unless we sign somebody or bring somebody on, or they do something substantial, you know, in terms of signing his paperwork and then doing some send-off for him, even then we still know, I mean, anything can happen, but, you know, it's kind of funny that they're still talking about it.
Well, that being said, I mean, we just hit the June 1st initiative yesterday, and I believe his release or retirement or whatever that you're calling it as far as the cap money just came available, and the Cowboys found themselves with an additional $14 million in cap space now that they actually got more. What do you mean?
I think they have close to $20 million now.
It's up over $17 million, but they had $3 million. But Tony's contract accounted for, I believe, 14 for this year in addition right now. So, which is good. Now I know that there's reports out there that says, you know, what's Jerry and Steve-O going to do with the money? Are they going to spend it? Are they going to pocket it? I think you're so close right now. If you can add another key player, that you got to make a run at a Super Bowl championship this year. Barry, you're on the same page with me, right?
Yeah, I mean, there's been a lot of talk. I mean, I'm up here in Seattle, and, you know, there's been some rumblings in the locker room about them potentially signing Kaepernick, and then Sherman saying that, you know, Pete Carroll's not holding Wilson accountable, and, you know, Sherman and this whole rumor about him dreaming and allowing himself to be a Cowboy in his own mind. And I've actually met his mother up here too, Mama Sherman, and she did say that they were Cowboys growing up because they got a lot of their family, even though they're from Compton down there, but in California, but they've got a lot of family rooted in the South. So I don't know. I mean, anything could happen. I don't think they're just going to let the money hit. And I mean, I think they're going to let it come to them. And I think that's kind of what we did. We didn't jump, make no big free agent splashes in free agency. We were quiet until the draft. We drafted heavy on defense. They executed well in the draft. I think they're just going to hold on to that and wait till the right situation can matriculate and, you know, and they take advantage of it.
Now, you guys were talking about the money. Tony Romo, $10,700,000. Brandon Carr, $2,717,000. And Doug Free, $2,500,000. Total of $16,284,096. That's what we got.
That's what's being hit against them this year. See, Tony was supposed to count for 24.7, and it's only 10 million. Whatever.
Okay, this was the dead money.
Yeah, that's the exactly.
All right. Okay.
We'll take that, right?
Yeah, I guess we will. And I kind of like what Barry said about. God, it would be so cool to have Sherman back there. I would. I checked out. I think it was your site, Barry. Official Cowboys. What's your site called again?
Official America's Team.
Official America's Team. And I tell you what, man, he had a Cowboy uniform on. You had that on, Barry. It was kind of cool.
Yeah, you know, these Instagram artists out there that do these edits, man, they do a really good job of switching those things up. So, but yeah, that was floating around. And like I said, the rumor had came out that he's, you know, Richard Sherman had said he had allowed himself to think about being a Cowboy. And there were some reports and, you know, the journalists were out there hitting on it. So I don't know. I think Sherman's time is probably done here up here in Seattle. I know Pete and them, they didn't trade him yet. There's still anything that could happen, but it's not good in the locker room up here between Sherman, Wilson, and Pete Carroll. I can say that, being in the Pacific Northwest. So they're up here eating it up on talk radio, hoping they can get it right. But, yeah, it would be nice to see, I mean, you know, that veteran pedigree he brings, a championship pedigree he brings to the secondary would be good for those young pups that we drafted. It couldn't do anything but help us.
That's what I was just going to ask. That's what I was just going to ask, Barry, was something with a guy like Richard Sherman, with his pedigree, with his championship pedigree there, how beneficial is that to all the young guys that we just drafted as we're trying to build our Legion of Doom coming up in the future to bring in, you know, one of the leaders of the original Legion from Seattle to come down and give these guys that chip on their shoulder and say, hey, here's how you be badass in this league.
Yeah, I mean, he would bring a great deal of mentoring for those young guys and help them, you know, speed their learning curve up along with the playbook and just, you know, their freakish athletic ability. Those young guys that we drafted, you know, you pair that with veteran leadership. I mean, not only on the defensive side of the ball, but Sherman's been in the league for years, and I think that he would automatically be respected in the locker room for what he's done in Seattle and what he could potentially bring there to the defensive side of the ball. And I would say, hey, offenses of opposing teams, beware if that were to happen.
I mean, could you imagine that with Jalen Smith, Sean Lee in the middle, and then you got this guy? And you know what? I don't know if they're going to keep Carroll or not, but if something goes down over there, I think you almost have to look at Sherman. Why the hell not?
I think they'll keep Carroll because I don't think they want to send that message that we're a locker room that you can't make any mistakes.
I got you.
I mean, we ain't even, Carroll hasn't even played. I would think if he got into the season and there's another incident or something like that,
right,
that could warrant putting him on the sideline, but I don't think they're going to cut him. That's just – it sends a message, but I don't think that's the message they want to send at this particular time because he just was signed. If they do, I'd be very surprised. But from a leadership standpoint, I would be like, we don't want to send that message to the rest of our locker room that you just have to be, you can't make any mistakes. Because all of them are men. They put their, you know, pants on the same way probably every day in there. And, you know, to say that you can't make any mistake, you know, that's a pretty big deal if they were to cut them. But I'd be surprised.
Yeah, you're definitely right about that. But
Jono, you said something as you were doing your little rambling there that got me thinking on how blessed that we might be going into next season is that Sean Lee played all 16 games injury free.
Yeah. Wasn't that amazing?
And, it, you know, now couple him up with Jalen back there in a linebacking core. And all of a sudden, I think that we are no longer looking at a question mark. I think you still have to have reservation about Lee going out there and getting nicked and dinged and being out or maybe another concussion. But, you know, I'm no doctor, but I know that the further along away from one concussion you are, the less likely the next one could be. Or it's not as hard or not as easy to get another one. You know, if you come off of one concussion, get hit in the head again, it's pretty easy. But now we're looking at over a year and a half where he hasn't been concussed. So, let's just hope that trend continues, because I sure do like him in our linebacking core.
Oh, he's definitely like our old Barry. You remember Ken Norton Jr.? I mean, that guy. I mean, it seemed like the mid-90s, you had the Cowboys, and they were so fast. I mean, we didn't outsize anyone, but we were just a fast defensive unit. And they pursued. The angles were all cut down and all that. I just think you're looking at a Cowboy defense again that's basing itself on speed once again.
Well, yeah, I mean, you got to go sideline to sideline, and I know that they're real high on this Damian Wilson too, which is a quick linebacker that gets
right
side to side, and that's a big thing. I mean, that allows those guys to pin their ears back and take that extra split second away from the quarterback, which makes your secondary, our young pups, like you said, Barry, makes them even that much stronger back there.
Yeah, I mean, Sean Lee, just over the last few seasons, you know, he's been everywhere. He's probably been on or part of every play defensively, you know, when the ball's on the, you know, on the other side of the line of scrimmage. So now I think with Jalen, and then hopefully we can get this David Irving thing sorted out and he can get cleared from that, from the reports I've seen that he's got some stuff to hopefully get him off the hook. But he's not going to have to be everywhere all the time and leaning on the rest of his teammates to make those plays, I think. That should give him some more shelf life on not getting concussed either, because we know that, I mean, Sean Lee is the general. He just goes hard every time. But, you know, knowing that you've gotten some help there, you've got to kind of take care of yourself so you can be there for the long term.
Say, what did you guys hear about David Irving? I know you were hearing some stuff too.
Just heard the articles I read from his perspective was that he had information in his possession that would exonerate him from that banned substance. Now, whether that's something approved from the league, whether it's, you know, whatever it might be, I don't know what it is. I don't think it's been released. Has it, Barry?
No, I think he was, from what I remember reading, he was going to promote a banned substance that he didn't know was banned. I don't necessarily know if there was reports that he took it and he had popped positive. If there is, I missed that. But there was obviously something that they overturned a few days later and some articles that said that he had some evidence to hopefully get him off the hook. So hopefully that's the case. And again, that'd be walking on thin ice if he can get cleared from there. Again, along with the Nolan Carroll, that's if I'm Dak, if I'm, you know, the leadership, you know, as far as the players and then from the coaching standpoint of Garrett, you know, you got to be, you know, intrusive and say, look, guys, you know, we're trying to do something special here. We need everybody to take everything. It's not about you. It's about the team. It's about the star. Keep the star at the forefront. Don't be selfish and jeopardize any of our talent on this team that's going to take away from our overall goal, which is winning the Super Bowl.
Right. I mean, you think about it. Let's let them try to beat us. Let's not beat ourselves is basically what you're saying.
And we've done that for a number of years.
Exactly.
We've done it for a number of years.
Going back to the offensive side, I think our defense, I think I'm solidified with it now. I'm getting a little relaxed knowing that our cornerbacks, you know what? What did we draft? Like four, six of them? Huh? Did we pick up like that?
I thought you called it. Didn't you say
seven
four?
Seven out of the nine were on the defensive side of the ball. So
right. That's amazing. That's amazing. So, you know what? If we turn out two or three good players there, boom, we're set on that. Now, looking at the stats here, yards between the tackles, we were number two on that with Zeke with 884 behind Howard of Chicago, and Bell was number three for Pittsburgh. And Dak Prescott, he had number three passer rating when using play action. Every time I seen it this year, Barry, or last year, it always seemed like when we're in a play action mode, man, it was almost like money. It was going to happen.
Yeah, I mean, Dak is that smart. He's not going to bail out on the play. He's going to go through his progressions. At the end of that, he's not going to get flustered, and then he's going to make the decision to – and we've seen that, his efficiency all season long. There were a couple blips there, but, I mean, you know, he's not going to be perfect. He's damn near close. Yeah. But, you know, he did a very good job of taking care of the ball, going through his progressions. And then when he had that, he was forced outside of the pocket. He made plays. That's what you want your quarterback to do, that discipline of going through progressions, not getting flustered and getting out of the pocket, because defenses, once they smell that, they're going to sniff it out very quickly. And Dak was able to not allow defenses to do that to him, and as a result, he was very efficient.
Yeah, he was ranked number 3 with 119 rating. Number 1, Tom Brady again, and Russell Wilson at 121. So, you know, Steve-O, it just seems
It was Dak, Brady, and Wilson.
Well, it wasn't Dak, Brady. It was Brady, Wilson, and Dak.
And Dak. Okay, sorry. Yeah. So, what's the common theme there? Which one was drafted number 1 overall?
Oh, that's a great call.
I mean, that's what I'm saying.
None of them.
None of them, exactly. And how is that? I mean, that's what you really, I think, have to have. If you're going to have some sort of championship run, you got to get these quarterbacks that, you know, were off the radar and coach them up and get them in there and not waste all the money. And I guess it's not as bad as it once was back in the day when you're drafting the number 1 overall guy like Bradford cost you $50 million. But none of them drafted in the first round. That's amazing.
Well, you know, it's amazing also that we had Beasley leading the team in receiving. What do you guys think about that for 2017? Are you okay with that? I'm kind of like, go ahead.
Well, I know I'll say Beasley benefited. I mean, you got Witten, you got, you know, Dez, you got Bryce Butler, he's got an arsenal of weapons, and not to discredit Beasley's performance, but he's the guy that, you know, if you got to focus on Witten, Dez Bryant, stopping the run, Dak getting out of the pocket, I mean, somebody's going to benefit.
Right.
You know what I mean?
And that's,
you know, Steve Kerr playing with Jordan over the years benefited of Jordan penetrating and him being open and, you know, he getting those hero shots. So,
exactly.
I mean, you know, and now we've added Ryan Switzer, and you know, I'm just going to call this now. You know, the nickname for those guys is the slot machines. So you know, you got Ryan Switzer, you got Cole Beasley. The slot machines are going to just tear it up, and I'm going to tell you, Dak is just going to be licking his chops on who he can pick and choose, and defenses are going to. I mean, with the run game, it's brewing for the perfect storm this season. Dak, Zeke, 1 year under their belt with this offense, the defensive side of the ball getting better. All those weapons on the offensive side, Dak is going to have a field day this year. He's going to have some record numbers. I'm just calling it now.
I love it. I love the nickname slot machines.
I love it.
We're going to have to put that. That might be the caption.
It's all berries. It's all berries, though.
Okay, but we're going to put that on the caption of the show, I think, when we send us out, the slot machines.
And we got to say Barry Gibson came up with the slot machines.
I love it, and I love the weapons that we have. And I think you're exactly right, Barry. I mean, how – Beasley was able to benefit from having Zeke and Dak playing so well. And then, you know, obviously with our big number 88 on the outside, which I would love to see him have a great season as well. But I think we got a ton of offensive weapons. But I think it's going to come down to, like we told you about our formula last year, I think you got to have ball control. I think you got to have time of possession. I think you got to let our big offensive line wear down their defense. And you start getting into those 13, 14, 15-play drives that, mind you, have to result in touchdowns and not Dan Bailey field goals, okay?
Yeah,
you get
exactly.
Those plays that result in touchdowns, and I'm telling you, those young pups in the secondary are going to look like world beaters because they're going to be fresh. We know we have some depth back there, and these other offenses are going to be pressured to match us score for score. And when they have to go down the field, and all of a sudden you saw what we did. We had that bend, don't break, okay? And all of a sudden they get down to 30, 40-yard line, and they got to try to punch it in from there. That's where you start making mistakes on that short field like that. So look for big things if we can continue that formula.
Right. Right, that's
I mean, that's been our identity for years. Pound the rock, establish the run game, control the clock, you know, and force the other team to you know, they can't match it. They're, you know, of course, benefit Dallas Cowboys.
I've seen it to where after Emmett, though, and I brought this up so many times on the show, we just couldn't get that damn one-yard line. It was like third and one, third and less than one. And I hate these umps, by the way, or not the umps, but the side refs that run in and they give a bad spot. It's like, dude, where the hell are you running? You're running in an angle here. You're supposed to keep it straight, and next thing you know, we're a half yard short, and they stop us behind the line of scrimmage. It's not happening this year.
Hey, Donald, you've been hurting OTAs. They've been running double tight end sets with Rico and Jason Witten.
Perfect. Perfect. Is that what we're doing now?
How many weapons do we have?
Exactly. I mean, we didn't even talk about Rico or Terrence Williams, but, you know, you put a double tight end set, you get on a one-yard line, goal line. I mean, come on, all of that meat on that line, you know, Zeke can't get it in. We're not going to have any problems. I don't think the refs are going to be our biggest opposition. I think our biggest opposition is going to be ourselves, and can we establish our game plan early and execute and with that strategy, because that's essentially what was our demise against Green Bay. We got behind, knocked us out of our game plan. We had to fight to get back into it, and then it comes down to, you know, one play to determine who's going to win. We can't be put in that position. We've got to dominate the offensive side of the ball, control the clock. That way it doesn't expose our defense to other offenses to where we're going to have to play catch-up in that sense. That's just been the whole strategy we've executed and had, you know, success since, you know, the Dallas Cowboys have had that identity.
Right, right. Well, you know what, though? That play, that throw to Dez in the Green Bay game a couple years back, that all resulted from a bad spot that we should have got a first down. They didn't give us the first down, and then we resorted to going to the end zone there, and you know what? That was our fourth down. But we had a first down there. Anyway, that's in the past, and what I like to see right now is the way Zeke, he does not get caught in the backfield. He gets that 1 yard all the time, and God bless, that's what we need. I mean, every time the guys, he runs violent. I mean, he'll run people over.
Yeah, he looks for contact. I mean, he had, what, over 900 yards after contact, which was probably more than most running backs had total for the year on some teams.
Right. And I'm just looking through social media here, fellas, and I guess the Eagles got our primary rivals with they're at 56.46% of the votes came in as – Philadelphia is our main rivalry. What do you guys think about that?
Well, we can thank Drew Pearson for that one.
Yeah, absolutely. He stuck it to him. But I'm still, I think obviously the NFC East has a long storied history of the rivalry, which is exactly why the Cowboys are still in the NFC East and not somewhere else geographically, however you want to say it, more accommodating, okay? So how on earth Dallas is in the East, I have no idea. Other than it's the rivalries that we've built with those teams.
Yeah.
Okay? Arizona Cardinals, when they moved from St. Louis out to Arizona, got shipped out of the East just because they didn't have that sort of passionate rivalry that the Cowboys share with those other three teams. But I think going into 2017 – I think you got to look at the Giants and say that's the team.
That's the team that I would have
that
picked.
We got to beat.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. What about you, Barry? Is that you think the Eagles are number one here, or the order that they have right now is the Eagles followed by the Redskins, followed by the Giants, the Packers, and then the Steelers?
It sounds like they're trying to build something. It's the Giants right now.
Giants.
I mean,
you know,
the Eagles maybe years ago, but it. You know, just like they say, we haven't done anything relevant since the 90s. I mean, Philly hasn't done anything relevant ever. So, I mean, there's been a big rivalry there long term, yeah, but it's not as budding and as hot as it is against the Giants right now. So I don't know. That's just my take on it.
No, I totally agree with you. And you know what? The G-men, they come out to play. And I just feel like the road to the playoffs has to go through New York. I mean, that's the way it is. That's our only obstacle. The Giants always produce when they need to. I mean, they'll start the whole season off slow, But then they build it up, and by the end of the season, next thing you know, they're a one game up, or we're one game up on them. That's how close things are between us.
See, I'm not sure we're going to have some sort of competition in the division. Okay, I'm looking outside the division as our competition. At when we get into the playoffs, I'm not sure. I think everybody else in the East might be looking to lie in wait and continue to build. So if there's something does happen, you get a Prescott hurt and he goes out, or somebody gets hurt, or we start not doing so well for some reason, that they can then step up. But I don't think anybody's going to really try to compete with us in the East. I just don't think they have the tools.
The manpower.
I get it. It's on paper, and the games aren't played on paper. But I really think that you're going to start seeing, you know, they're looking it up in Philly. Okay, hey, we got Carson Wentz. We got a year under his belt. They're just looking for progression, okay? And I think they're looking up in New York, how much more can we squeeze out of Eli, or do we start looking for his replacement? And Lord knows what the hell they're thinking in Washington, because they still don't have that kid under contract, Cousins, right? They keep right. franchising him. They don't know what they're doing. Are they coming? They going? They buying? They selling? I mean, those guys are a bunch of – I mean, it's Washington, D.C. They're a bunch of slapsticks anyway up there, right?
You're right.
I mean, nobody can make a goddamn decision out of D.C. They're ruining the damn country. Yeah. I'm going to get back up on my soapbox, Barry. Jono loves it Jono loves it when we talk politics. But this is just typical for Washington, D.C. They got the whole country screwed up. They can't even run a football team right.
Right, you're right.
I mean, start with the football team.
Let alone choose on what their franchise name is going to be, or logo, or however it was.
Yeah, exactly. And let's talk about that, Barry. What is your opinion on it? I have mine. But what is your opinion? Obviously,
opinion on what? What are you asking his opinion?
No, the Redskin name. Okay, the team name.
I think everybody has an opinion, and they're kind of like you know, that old saying: everybody's got one, and they all stink.
Oh yeah. Hey, we're on podcast.
I just think with social media now, and everybody's accessible. You know, I wouldn't be on your show right now if it wasn't for social media. So I think that, you know, anybody can have an opinion now, and now, you know, companies are scared of the backlash. Or I'm just talking broadly here, not talking about the Redskins, but just in general on how these things come up is, you know, a conversation gets started, it gets attention, and then if it's negative PR for a business or company or whatever, people shy away from it, and they'll do what's, you know, they'll blow with whatever direction the wind is blowing on it. And I just think that, you know, people are just trying to get attention and make a name for themselves for out of nothing. It's like the Redskins, like, come on, like Cowboys. Now what, somebody's going to start a petition and say we need to be called the Cowgirls, because it's just, you could just do whatever. You know what I mean? It's just ridiculous with social media. But I agree, D.C., they damn sure don't know what the hell they're doing up there. I was in the Navy for 23 years, so now that I'm retired, I can go on record and say that. Yeah, they don't know what the hell they're doing up there. But, hey, it is what it is.
23 years in the Navy. Wow.
Well, God bless you, my man. That's great.
We got to have him in here.
He's keeping us safe, that's for sure.
He's retired. He's not keeping us safe anymore,
he
but
did
he
keep
did.
Us safe. That's
he
for
keep
sure.
Us safe.
Yeah.
He's keeping our cowboy name alive, though. That's what's important now
right.
with us.
Well, that's absolutely correct. I just didn't, you know, I just wanted somebody else's opinion on that name, Redskin. I'm almost at the point now where I think you got to almost cave.
Hey, Barry. You've seen the military before the games and all that. And isn't – to me, though, it's like that's not all about the team and all that. The team doesn't pay – I heard that the military, the government pays for the whole flag being out, the bands coming out, and the soldiers coming out. I think that's wrong. I think the NFL, if you're that team, if you're the NFL – You should pay for that. It's a privilege to have that game on a Sunday and having that stadium packed, and those people like you made it all possible to watch this game, you know. And we shouldn't be charging the government for that big 100-yard flag on the football field and all that. What's your take on that?
Well, just to kind of keep it simple, I mean, the NFL is a business. War is a business. I learned that early on in my career in the Navy. when somebody broke down that down to me. We always have got to have a bad guy, because if not, we really essentially have no purpose. We're just kind of there. But, you know, the NFL did take money. I don't necessarily know if they charged them, but I know that I did a story on that probably a couple of years ago on a blog that's not there anymore. I actually, once I discovered that, I felt kind of perplexed, because I was in the military and I kind of felt the way you did then. But, again, that's just the Department of Defense using money to promote, you know, patriotism at those you know, events where a lot of eyeballs are on. And, you know, you got to remember, I mean, I did 13 years in the Navy recruiting business. So there's a lot of money that's spent on campaigns, commercials, advertisements for recruiting. And if you've got a nation that's brought together by teams, you know, sports, and you put the forefront of service members there, it's great. You know, they get that recognition, but all of it's not done in earnest truth behind closed doors. So, I mean, it's a business at the end of the day. War is a business. The NFL is a business. At the end of the day, it may look one way, but when you peel back the, you know,
layers,
you know, you peel back the layers of it, it's actually more to it than meets the eye.
Yeah, yeah. Well, we'll see it again this year, and I don't care what it's for. I still love to see it. And, you know, I love when those planes fly over. And you know what? That's part of – it's almost become that's part of the game. What do you guys think about that?
Yeah.
That's our NFL now.
Let me tell you what. I mean, one of that, I love it. I mean, there's some guys that that when they sing the national anthem just do an amazing job. I like the big flag. I like the patriotism of it. I love the flyovers.
The soldiers holding the flag and
absolutely.
Just see their face,
and,
yeah.
And, you know, and I love the, you know, when they do around Veterans Day when all the teams, you know, have the camouflage garb on, and they really honor all the servicemen at home games like that, as far as the servicemen of the game or whatever it is. I like that stuff.
It's part of Americana.
I think it brings the country hopefully together a little bit more, and that gets us back on our political Washington D.C. talk, and we need more of that. We need less of the bullshit that tears us apart, like this ass clown holding up the bloody prop head, right?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, and what do you guys think about that with Kaepernick? Everyone's talking about maybe we should get Kaepernick, or there's people that are saying there's no way we should get Kaepernick. I mean, me, myself, I just think that we should get who's ever the good backup for the Dallas Cowboys. That's all I'm looking at. I don't look at it with any political views or anything like that. I just look at it like, we just need someone back there that could fill in that spot.
What do you think, Barry? Is he getting blackballed? Is there some backlash for his stance?
Oh, of course there is. I mean, you know, at first I was upset with the guy and what he, you know, the spectacle he caused there. But then I got to learn his reason why. And then, you know, I had to take a different viewpoint on it. And, you know, I don't agree nor condone it, but every American has the right to express however they want to express the way they feel. And, you know, if it doesn't go with the majority, of course, you're going to get some backlash. But I don't think the Cowboys have anything to do with it. One, because of my conspiracy about Tony Romo coming back if he doesn't sign papers. And two, I don't think that we need that kind of PR with that particular player in his history. I think he's got a great skill set. I think he could add value as a backup to us. I just think there's too many other things that were pre-engaged prior to this whole Kaepernick thing with Tony Romo and our quarterback situation that's the reason why we haven't jumped on it. Like I said, they've been talking about signing him up here. He came up and worked out for the Seahawks. The locker room had showed some open support for him. You know, they did their whole standing in arms together up here in Seattle during that time when Kaepernick was protesting. And, you know, some guys in the locker room here that were close with Kaepernick, they started having discussions, and they kind of did a thing up here during one of their games while the Seahawks, you know, locked arms together on the sideline, and they didn't stand with their, you know, hand over their heart or whatnot. But Dallas and Kaepernick shouldn't even be in the same conversation. If it were to happen, I'd be highly surprised, but I doubt it. I think at some point somebody's going to sign him. I just think that everybody's scared of that PR that comes with it.
Right.
And again, it goes back to being a business. You know, you don't want to rattle a fan base. You don't want to lose numbers. Because your bottom line, your fan base is what pays your salary. It keeps the lights on. And, I mean, what business owner is going to do something that may intrinsically affect their business negatively, you know, at that sense?
Right.
And it comes at Kaepernick's cost of him expressing what he believes in. And that's just the country we live in now, you know.
It really is.
It is. And I know that he has a pledge out there, Kaepernick does, and he's putting his money where his mouth is. And, you know, I think maybe he needs a PR firm to get that out there a little bit more because, you know, at first, you know, it was just a protest. And you can look back to how did everything ever start in this country was some sort of protest. Matter of fact, that's how I think the country started
yeah,
with some
right.
call it Tea Party, right?
yeah.
You know, and you can look all through the civil rights movement and everything like that and women's rights movements. You have the gay and lesbian and transgender movements going on now. You know, everything starts with some sort of protest before somebody wakes up. And I'm just glad that Colin is now, or Kaepernick's put some money behind the cause, and I hope he's not getting blackballed. I think he's a talent,
right?
And I think he still has some years left talent wise on there, and hopefully he finds a team.
No, I agree with you. Well, I tell you what, guys, we could talk about this, and we could talk about some great more stuff about the Cowboys.
You know what I want to talk about? I want to talk about games. When does this damn season
Jesus
start?
Christ, it's stuff that we got
100 days
like
as of today. 100 days.
So Barry, I always talk about this type of stuff. One of my favorite parts of the year is about a month and a half ago, as you have the draft going on, you have, you know, golf and the Masters, and you know there's about a month long in there, baseball starting, you know the playoffs in NBA and NHL are starting, and all of a sudden you get to about this time of year and I'm kind of sick of the playoffs. Hockey, I'm kind of sick of the basketball. Those seem to go on forever. Baseball, now you're 2 months in and you get the doldrums. There's nothing happening in the damn NFL. Jono, how the horse is doing? I mean, that's kind of slow, right?
Yeah, the horse racing, even the Triple Crown's not going to happen.
Yeah, exactly.
No threat of it because the Preakness, the favorite got beat. So now they're going in the Belmont Stakes, and no one even cares about the Belmont
Stakes. No one cares.
Yeah, it's really stagnant 2017 so far.
Exactly. So I need some cowboy football. So in lieu of that, we might just have to start planning our trips so I have something to look forward to, damn it.
Well, hey, how many cowboy games do you catch, Barry?
Let's see. I went to the San Francisco game last year at Levi's Stadium when we took over that place. So I plan on hitting probably about three this year. I'm looking at the Atlanta game at the Mercedes-Benz there, the new stadium. Definitely wanted to possibly hit the Oakland game with Marshawn Lynch and those guys eventually moving to Las Vegas. So there's going to be some history there to be played out. I've got some family down there that I can see at the same time, and then possibly a game in Dallas. But going back to what Steve-O was talking about, I mean, just during this gap, whether you guys know it or not, there's a whole culture within our fan base that's you're going to start seeing a lot more of it, and it's called the Dallas Cowboy Fan Club movement. And I don't know if you guys are aware of this, but there's a lot of fan clubs sprouting across, and we cover this in my blog on officialamericasteam.com, and there's a lot more to cover. We're actually putting together a directory of all of the fan clubs across the nation where people that travel to games can meet up with club members of those areas and party with, you know, and attend games with fan clubs there as a point of reference. So that's something we're doing. And that's kind of what a lot of the Cowboy fan base is doing that's involved with that. There's a lot of planning going on right now. I know that there's a roundup taking place against the Giants there in Dallas. So all of the clubs from across the nation are flying in down there for the roundup in Dallas. And then the actual Atlanta game that I'll be going to, that's established as the takeover game, where as many Cowboy fans as we can are trying to go there to disrupt that whole brand-new stadium and outshine the Atlanta fan base there by having it dubbed the Dallas Takeover. So look for some stuff to come on our site. I've got four or five different blog contributors that we're covering different fan clubs. We just covered Mrs. Price. I don't know. I'm pretty sure you guys are familiar with who Miss Carolyn Price is, the Dallas Cowboy number fan. She's number one fan. She's at all the games. She just wrote a book. So we read her book and we talked about that and did an interview on her and covered that. So there's a lot of stuff going on within the fan base. Granted, no Cowboy football, but believe you me, there are fans out there that are putting rubber to road and planning, just like what you were talking about, on these games. So as soon as the schedule came out, you know, I'm part of a president's group that's got all of the presidents throughout the nation of these clubs, and they were, as soon as the schedule came out, already making plans for, you know, their clubs and traveling to games and doing those types of things.
Well, I tell you what, Barry, you're more than welcome to If you ever take a drive to St. Louis or take a plane, you're welcome to be on this show. We do a Facebook Live during the game, and we get like 20, 30,000 people that chime in and watch it while we're watching it. They leave comments. It's a great atmosphere. And this year, I think, we're going to a bar. Steve-O's got some connections with all Cowboy fans, and hell, we'd love to see you come down with us, Barry, if you ever take a trip. Well, where is that place, Steve?
Well, just over in St. Louis, a little Mexican joint, La Tejana, voted one of the best tacos in the St. Louis area here. So Kyle Garcia runs the place over there. And
Big-time Cowboy?
Big-time Cowboy fan, and he says that's the place to be on Cowboys games. They pack it. And it's a little bit small, but they pack the joint with rabid Cowboy fans, and he wants us to come over and do the show over there a couple of times, for
beautiful.
Sure.
Beautiful. So you got an open invitation there, Barry.
Appreciate it. But I didn't have to take you up on it.
Barry, definitely. How do you guys do that? You guys go through, when you're putting that together, is it every man for himself on the tickets, or are you guys going through one of our friends, the Cowboy tour guys that put all that together for you?
Yeah, there's a whole network established between presidents and their network of folks. They obviously try to get bulk tickets. They do packages, and then some are just tailgates at games. But we know that the Dallas Cowboy tickets for all games have just significantly jumped. So, you know, you're going to pay a pretty penny to see these guys play in any stadium this year. You know, it just shows you on national TV how many games we've got slotted there. We're paying the NFL light bills again this year. So
we don't even have
yeah,
to have
they've got their own network.
We don't even have to have DirecTV anymore for the pass ticket there. I mean, it's there for us to watch primetime all their games.
All of them. It's going to be great. I'm looking forward to this year for sure. And I know we are trying to get down to Dallas for the Packers game. And there's a couple of more that we're looking at. Maybe the Denver game, yeah. I think, in week two. So we're crossing our fingers to get to a couple.
That Packers game was one I was looking at, too. They've got packages, you know, because you can get packages through one of the networks that we've got. You know, you get a tour of the star. You get to meet some previous players and stuff. I can get you guys that network information after
Perfect.
We get off the show. But, yeah, I was actually looking at that game, too. So if you guys are seriously thinking about going, I mean, we should probably try to work that out. And, you know, we could get a show going down there while we're there.
Oh, yeah, we're supposed – yeah, great. We got a couple connections to do some shows close to the stadium that maybe we can do, and we just got a, you know, just a travel expense. We got our producer's a big guy. I think he needs like three seats for the plane ride down. Wait, did I say that? He's not in here, is
yeah,
he, Brian?
No,
you
over there? No, you would see him. He's a tree bark. Yeah. No, definitely we got to do that, though. And, Barry, you got to be a part of it. When we're down there, let's throw a show. And, hell, you're one of the guys on the show now, so we love having you on. And during the year or two, as we're in the studio doing this, we'd love to have you call in and give us your opinion on what's going on, too. The only thing they ask on Facebook is that we can't do play-by-play, so we kind of make it to where it's like, what, 3-4 seconds off?
No, it's about Steve? 12. It's
you didn't
it's
have to say
it's,
that.
It's uncomfortably long, but it's for obvious reasons. But Barry, off topic, talk to me about that the experience up in Seattle with that stadium compared to like something down there in Dallas. I mean, I've always heard good things about the crowd up there.
Well, yeah, they've got a rabid fan base here, and then, you know, the knock is nobody was really Seattle Seahawks fans until they went to the Super Bowl that year with Russell Wilson and the Legion of Boom. But I've been in the stadium multiple times. I've actually been in one of the suites there and did a fantasy football draft there 2 years ago with some guys that I know up here. And, I mean, it's built acoustically for the crowd noise level. It's very loud. The fan base is very, very loud. I actually used to take the train all the way down to downtown Seattle and get off, and the stadium is right there. I didn't work too far from there when I was in the Navy at that time. But, I mean, it's a great stadium. It ain't Jerry's World. It ain't AT&T Stadium now. But, right. I mean, they've got their thing going up here with CenturyLink Field and, you know, great fan base. They really love the 12s up here. But, you know,
right.
They're
it's
not Cowboys.
Not, yeah,
so.
They're not
right.
Cowboys.
How was the new 49ers stadium? Did you like that?
What? Yeah, it was very it's very high tech. You know, they've got apps there. You can order food and they bring it to you. You know, you're in the heart of Silicon Valley there, so I actually won tickets to that game playing on a fantasy game that a buddy of mine had started up. It's called Win Win. And I won some tickets there too. We went up into the fantasy lounge room there for the Yahoo Fantasy Lounge. So that was pretty neat. And it was around the time that we had got down, and I told my cousin, because I took him to the game with me, I said, look, man, we got to get down there because we had great tickets. We actually got on the field. I got to, you know, I was about 5 feet from Zeke, seen Dez was hurt at the time. So we got down, got some VIP tickets, got a chance to meet a couple of those guys. It was a great experience, but the stadium is top notch, very nice, very spacious. Their football team's not that great. That's the only knock.
Well, perfect. We'll do some reporting from the other ones that we end up going to, and I just like giving our fans that listen to us that maybe, you know, and they're all over the world. I mean, you know this, Barry, that Cowboy Nation is Cowboy World. So there's people that listen to us over in England that might be that want to travel over here for one game, you know, and or do right. they want to go, or they might be over here on their holiday for 10 days or 14 days, and they might want to see a game down in Dallas, but they also might want to try to pick something out to another stadium. Well, you know where I'm not sending them? To like St. Louis back in the day, because it was the worst experience. And I hear that Washington Redskins experience is terrible too.
Well, how the hell do we know that?
Well, that's what we're trying to find out from experts
Yes, he's got San Fran, probably Oakland down, and he's got Seattle. But I doubt that. Were you out in the East Coast at all? Check out any Giant or Washington games, Barry?
No. Pensacola, as far as east I've gone. So yeah. Pensacola, Florida, as far east as I've gone.
Yeah,
I do not like the cold weather, so I would prefer,
you're in the Seattle.
Levi Stadium in October is great. Yeah, it doesn't get that cold up here. Aren't you in? It just rains.
Isn't that Canada?
Yeah, that is. Canada.
I mean,
we're about 2 hours north of or south of the border.
Well, shit, that's don't Victoria. Say south of the border like you're in Mexico, man. Come on now. He's trying to throw us off like, oh yeah, we're just south of the border.
Yeah.
Shit, south of the border for us is Mexico.
Yeah,
you guys are like in Antarctica, Alaska, something like that.
Yeah,
you get that northern jet stream over Seattle. I mean, I was stationed here years ago, and it was far worse, but. We just had a pretty rainy season here. Other than that, it doesn't snow. It doesn't get that cold. I mean, it's bearable. It's doom and gloom for the most part. But, I mean, it's not like in the South in Texas where you're fighting right. that heat. I know St. Louis. I was in Oklahoma for 3 years, and, boy, tornadoes. It's tornado one day and ice storm the next day, raining the next day, sunny the next day. So I know St. Louis, that whole tornado alley right there, that weather gets crazy in that middle part of the United States.
No, you're right about that, pal. I tell you what, we're going to wind this show down, and I tell you, it was great. It was great having you on. It was great, Steve-O. You're once again.
Guys.
Yeah, I'm back in the good graces of the Jono machine here.
Yeah, you know what? As long as you're on the show here, I don't care. Right? When you call off, that's when I get a little.
Some
mad.
Of us have real jobs we got to do, bud.
I got you.
You know.
All right, that's enough of you.
Come on.
Hey, thanks again, Barry, and we'll stay in touch, brother. Anything you got? And that's officialamericasteam.com here, my friends. Barry's got a great site. And I tell you, Steve-O, you may not know about this, but the guy just gives a little shout-out by putting stars on fans out there. He makes it like a Dallas Cowboys star with their name in the middle there. That you do a great job, Barry. I love what you do, pal.
Appreciate y'all. Thank you for having me on the show, John.
All right, Steve-O. Barry. Take care, man.
All right, bye-bye.
Bye.
Well, I hope I had a good showing today. I felt like I brought my
showing.
A game. I felt like
showing.
I had my A game.
You had a great showing, and can't wait the football season to come around, and we'll make it happen, man. We'll get guys like Barry. We'll get guys call in from everywhere, man.
We got the professor to get back on, Colleen, Michelle we could always do. So we got a lot of stuff that we can do, and it's just growing. I mean, we got – a ton of people that are on our fan page, Cowboys Podcast on Facebook, up over 14,000, approaching 15,000, aren't we, Jono?
I think on the subscription, I think we're over 20,000 every time they load us up. Yeah, so it's been a beautiful trip so far.
Absolutely,
every time.
You guys, Wow, you've got over 20K subscribers on your podcast?
Yeah, we're having them left and right. And when the show starts off, when we get the Facebook Live going, I mean, this thing really goes haywire here.
I know.
Man.
Yeah.
I think they like the whole concept of, you know, it's kind of like a bar. We make it like a bar stool here. We're sitting next to each other. We got the drinks out. We got the food out there. If you know what, folks, if you're by yourself and you're watching a Cowboy game, this is the place you want. You just turn on the Facebook Live and just go through the whole game with us and chime in. Yeah, we're your buddies. We're your friends out there.
Yeah, absolutely. Especially if you like going to a sports bar where you really can't hear the volume of the TV. And you're just sitting around with your pals or your girlfriends and drinking a cocktail and watching a game and enjoying yourself. It's just like having us right there with you when you do that. Turn off the volume so you don't hear our 12-second delay because that's a pain in the ass. Yeah. But it's good humor. It's a good show, and we have a good time doing it, that's for sure. Right. And it's all about the entertainment value there.
And, hey, another big plug for another guy out there is Travis Johnson, another big-time Cowboy fan, and I know he listens to our show and he likes to chime in. So God bless everyone, and keep listening to our show, and let's make things happen this year. Huh?
Perfect.
All right. Sounds good. From Jono, Steve-O, Barry, we are out of here, my friends. Take care.
Go boys.
Tune in next week for another edition of the Cowboys Podcast on lineupmedia.fm. Subscribe to the show now at cowboyspodcast.com on iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, Podbean, and all major podcast outlets. This podcast was a presentation of lineupmedia.fm.